My bad.
It's all good. It's all good. They don't know what happened.
Exactly. You're right. I just like to say my bad as I introduce every conversation in my life.
Oh, okay.
I know I'm going to say something that I shouldn't have said, so I like to apologize immediately.
Oh, my fault. My fault. Okay. Oh, boy.
Man, that's some funny shit. So what should we get into, man? What?
I'm thinking, and we've been going back and forth about it. I'm thinking monogamy, you know?
That would be good. I did no research, but we could definitely talk about that. I mean, I've seen the videos that I've talked about, so it's not like I know nothing, but...
I think the beauty of our podcast, if that's what you want to call it, is that the fact that we do no research.
I think that's exactly how you should... I mean, well, do you really want to sit here and have me have a dissertation of just... facts?
I mean definitely don't have, yeah, I mean, don't have a whole whatever you just said of, yeah, facts, you
like,
know,
I'm not
like
sit here and just
I think it's important to point out to our listeners that this is 100% our opinion that we're entitled to, and this is just what the average late 20s dude in USA thinks of or thinks about. You know what I'm saying? I think that's our niche right there.
Yeah.
That we're just two idiots talking.
Facts. That's exactly it. I mean, if you've never eaten vegan food before and you're talking about how it sucks, that's okay, man. That's all right. Is that you just think it sucks? I mean, you know, you don't have to do the research, man. That's your opinion.
You don't have to do the research. I don't think that was the greatest comparison to
you
at this particular moment.
I'm sorry.
But it's all right. The fact is, if you are hating on veganism and choosing to eat better, but you're talking shit and you haven't tried it, good for you.
Look,
can do
most
that.
People do it anyways. So, I mean, it's not like we're out here, like, our podcast is just us attacking people. You know, it's just what how we see the world in this moment. And that's it. And that's how it should be.
I don't think we even attack people. To be honest, I mean, I'm not attacking anybody.
No. But I'm just saying, you know? A lot of people do that, and they still get to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's a lot to go back and forth about. But yeah, monogamy. Let's
this is episode
right
2. I'm Alan the Youth, and we're going to talk about monogamy today, guys and gals and non-binary folk.
Non-binary. Okay.
You gotta be inclusive, apparently. You know, I ain't trying to catch no case out here telling me I'm, you know, transphobic or something like that. It's like, hey, man, I'm including everybody.
That's okay.
So
transphobic.
Yeah, bruh, that's a whole nother topic. Anyways, monogamy.
Monogamy. Mahogany.
So
I like the idea.
Like, I guess, let's see. You could probably start from the beginning.
What is the beginning
of time,
this topic?
I guess, if we're going to talk, because monogamy is about being in a relationship with one person, you know, at a time, though, because it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be with that one person for life, because people die.
All right, let me stop you right there. Why do you think monogamy started?
Why it started? All right, cool.
Why do you think it started?
Yeah.
Remember, we're not professors here. We're just... guys.
I mean, it's the best because, okay, this is, I'll repeat what Jordan Peterson said, because if there's no incentive for it, he called it enforced monogamy, but it sounded like he was, you know, saying to round everybody up and make one more of them get married. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying a culture that is, I guess, a proponent of it, and that promotes monogamy, because if you don't, and if you allow a culture to like, if you allow women in general, I mean, not allow them, but if it happens so that women don't want to settle down and they just want to see other partners and just, you know, be polyamorous or just, you know, have a casual dating or casual sex and not settle down with one person for a long period of time, the men at the top of the food chain will get all the women, and then the men at the lower end of the food chain will not get anything. So monogamy, because monogamy in general allows for everyone to have a chance.
That's a good theory right there.
That's just me paraphrasing what he said. what Jordan Peterson said. But that's, I mean, I get it. Like, if a woman's sleeping around and she's the one that has the choice of who she gets to sleep with, if she, you know, she's the gatekeeper of her goddessness.
I disagree. And why I disagree? I mean, not that I think what you just said was wrong, what homeboy said is wrong. I disagree only because I feel like monogamy was maybe started to control, you know?
Okay.
To like, for instance, like you say that women have the power, right? So let's say me, a dude, I get with this girl, I get her pregnant. After a girl gives birth and all that, right? Like, it's easier for a dude, I feel like, to move on to the next girl than it is for a female to move on to the next dude. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, in a way, that's just to come back that point. But I feel like it's monogamy was made to control only because, and this is something, like I said, just not professor here, but the video that I saw on Netflix and the title of the documentary is escaping me right now. In the olden days, they would want families to combine their wealth. They would kind of force their kids to marry each other, to combine the two families for whatever power or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
And also, I feel like, I mean, at least in the past 50 to 60 years, combined with marriage, is monogamy, in my opinion, is kind of like a insurance that a guy can't just get you pregnant, pick up, and leave.
Yeah.
And go on to the next girl.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
No, you're right, because Brett Weinstein developed, he said something along those lines that there's a difference between beauty and hotness. So a woman could be beautiful but not hot, and hot but not beautiful. And usually when you see a woman that is beautiful, you think, mother of your child or something like that. So that's the woman that you would settle down with. Or someone who's hot is just someone that you could, I guess, procreate with but keep it moving. I guess would be kind of
fun. Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see how, like, that you're saying, like, it is easier for men to step away because he was kind of designed to just, if you go evolutionary biology, if you go into that realm, that's basically what you're, as a guy, you're supposed to do is procreate. So you just, I mean, it sounds like, I'm not saying for being unfaithful, but I'm just saying that if you go back, like, if you're populating the earth, you would want to leave your legacy with as many women as possible, because there's a chances of them like babies back then would die immediately, or a woman would die during childbirth. So if you want to up your chances of your genes staying, you have to be with multiple women.
Can I stop you right there for a second?
Yeah.
So I like that we're going back in the history of monogamy, right? But I say, man, fuck all that. Let's fast forward to 2018, and we just discussed how we feel like it's all of those things, right? Do you think by design human beings are supposed to be monogamous creatures?
Depending on who you're talking to, a lot of people.
I'm talking to you.
A lot of people.
I'm talking to you.
Me specifically, I think that's a better outcome than being, having a polyamorous or something along those lines.
Is that what I asked you? I asked you, do you think we're designed to be monogamous creatures?
I mean, yeah, I would say yeah. That
you think so?
I think that's the optimum. I mean, you can, like you can decide to eat meat or not, but I think the optimum choice would be monogamy versus polyamory. And not saying you have to settle down with the first woman you have sex with, but in the long run, it comes to a point where if you could settle down with one person, and if, depending on how, if you're straight or gay, it's different, but being a straight man, you settle down with one woman, raise a family, and then the generations continue. I think that's it's an optimum choice, but it's not necessarily the best choice, depending on who you are. It all depends on who you are at this point, because everybody's different.
I'll be honest with you, I agree with you. I really do like the idea of monogamy and being just with one person. But I don't think we're designed to be monogamous creatures, only because of what humans do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know the stats, but like the amount of cheating that happens between a married couple, let alone like an actual couple.
Yeah, it's really bad.
You know, it's just, and it's just one of the things where it's like if you have a girl, right? Yeah, of course. You love your girl no matter what. But Beyonce is still sexy as fuck, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like by design, I think we're, as people, we're designed to just get with or do whatever feels good. But what I also would like to think that, although it isn't in our natural design, I think it's like a level up or a spiritual awakening when we do come to the point where it's like, you know what, I want to be this because by design I'm not, I don't want to say a bad person, but my design isn't complete, or it isn't the greatest outcome. You know what I'm saying? But if I can be disciplined and live a certain lifestyle, one of them being a monogamous lifestyle, I think that's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that's something we have to learn, I believe.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. That, biologically speaking, being monogamous kind of doesn't make sense, because if you're trying to spread, if you're trying to have the most chances of your DNA surviving and there being a legacy of your life, of your genes, you'd have to procreate with as many women as possible. I think that's... That's what the whole, oh, yeah, I'm with this one woman, but that other woman still is attractive because she is a possibility of me being able to procreate and leave my genetic material and have, you know, and like longer ancestry. So that, like, having and more chances of being, you know, surviving, my DNA surviving.
Yeah. And I mean, like, let's not even make it all about the guys. Like, I mean, just as much as we want to fuck other females, these females, they want to fuck as much other dudes as possible. I mean, they would like to, I believe, because they're human.
Yeah, and that's, there's a varying conflict in that as well. But I'm pretty sure that's possible, especially women our age, definitely, of course. I think depending on your age, that kind of is a little different. There's some women that are like, there's one woman that I'll see on YouTube, she's 32, and she thinks that that's not really a good thing to be that cavalier with your sex life. But she's, you know, in her early 30s. So her view is a little different than someone, especially with the rise of feminism, where it's been told to women that, you know, like, if you're going to, that, like you were saying about control, monogamy and control, a lot of women nowadays, under the guise of feminism, have been told that being a woman with a family and just, you know, being a mother is a sign of being controlled by a man. Like, oh, you let him, allowed him to impregnate you and have you shackled to the prison that is motherhood. So a lot of women our age are deciding to rage against that machine that they think is oppressive, and they're just trying to sleep as many men as they can and not really care about settling down for a family, because that to them sounds like a trap.
Do you think in our culture, like strictly speaking of the people in our age group and younger, that monogamy is going to be something that is practiced as hard as it is now? Like, everybody's gonna, like, I don't know, like what do you think relationships in the future are gonna be like?
Maybe more casual. The thing is, like, real, I don't know what real love is, because I haven't been in like a serious monogamous relationship with anyone, but I would assume that when you're in that kind of love, that it's different than like a casual relationship. And maybe you'd want to cherish that those feelings and not be so cavalier. Because like you were saying, there's a, like, you know, you find other women attractive, women find other men attractive, but you're giving the sacrifice to your partner and saying, I care about you so much, I love you so much that I'm willing to negate all my emotions and my urges for other people and just share my feelings with you and my love with you.
So, you level up.
Yeah, you know, like that's like a level, that's like a level of maturity where like you're like, yeah, I find these other people attractive and it would be nice to be with all these other people, but you are so important to me that I'm deciding to negate that and sacrifice those urges for you. So like you're saying, it's like a spiritual awakening. It may not be biologically sensible, but it's something that you would want to achieve to be a higher version of yourself. So, I don't know. I think it might be more casual, but like the whole polyamorous thing is kind of hard for me to grasp. Like, I don't know how you could love. I mean, you probably could love more than one person at the same time. But do you really want to be like you're dating a girl and then you guys go sleep with each, like someone, another couple, and then seeing your girl getting fucked by another dude like that?
No, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, like that sounds like so like that's where the whole like I think like monogamy is a good thing just because I couldn't see myself being like, yeah, my girl's getting fucked by some dude, but I'm fucking this girl. Like the only way.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I vote for monogamy, but I just like just the way guys and girls are, bro. And maybe it's just in the circle that I'm looking in. It doesn't seem like anybody gives a fuck about the next person.
No, they don't. At all. And you can't trust anybody because you can't read their minds.
Yeah.
Like you know like, what prisoner's dilemma is.
What?
It's a game theory thing. Let me see. Because this woman, I was watching her. She was talking about game theory and the prisoner's dilemma, but she equated it to a relationship. So, like, you have two people in a relationship, partner one and partner two. And the ideal, like, you each have a choice, and the ideal thing would be that both of you remain faithful and no one would cheat. And that's, like, the ideal motive. But the thing is, you don't know if that's a possibility because you can't read the other person's mind. So it's always in the back of your head. Or, you know, it's possible that they could cheat. But ideally, you would want to not cheat and hope that they don't cheat as well. But they could, if they cheat and you don't cheat, then, you know, you run the risk of you being hurt and then, you know, them being unfaithful. Or if you cheat because you think that they might cheat and then they don't cheat, you'll hurt them from being unfaithful, even though that they were faithful.
And you saying that, it just making me feel like, yo, like we're not designed to be monogamous creatures.
Yeah, so it's a complicated thing because then both of you cheat, and then that's like the worst outcome. But both of you cheating, you both will be hurt less when you find out because you've already been cheating as well. But ideally, you would want it to be, I'm not cheating. Hopefully, you also don't cheat. That's like the ideal. But it's really hard because you can't. Just like the prisoner's dilemma, that was kind of like a variation of it. It's, you don't know. You don't know. You can't, you know, you're not with them all the time.
I think as a culture, we should probably accept the fact that we're not monogamous creatures. In a way, like, not to say that, like, I want to be polyamorous or whatever, whereas, like, the rules are we sleep with other people. I just feel like if we were brought up in a culture where I don't know, like there, like why is there even such like guidelines or rules? You know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just what because it's like yeah, you will get a girlfriend, right, or whatever, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking she's cheating. In the back of her mind, she's thinking you're cheating. Somebody might cheat. Or maybe you guys have a great relationship, but she goes to a party or you go to a party or, like, something happens where, like, boom, you fuck up, right? And that shit happens all the time. I don't know the exact stats, but I feel like there's more people, more couples that dealt with that than there are couples that haven't. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like maybe if we changed up the way we thought about relationships and maybe love in general, it'll help us... actually become monogamous creatures in a weird way.
I see.
But that's just me going off on a tangent.
I think you have to be less strenuous about it, because the problem is when you do get into a monogamous relationship, that fear of cheating is so overbearing that it can affect the relationship, and then you end up cheating anyways, or she ends up cheating because you were so nervous about her cheating. Kind of thing. So then people need to be more lax and realize that, yeah, let's say you're in a monogamous relationship and she cheats or he cheats. To be more relaxed about it and realize that, you know, it's not the end of the world. It probably is in family. I don't know. Maybe no. A lot worse.
I would think so.
I'm talking about, like, you know, just 26, 27, 28-year-old men and women who are, you know, don't have kids. Even though this is the age where everybody starts having kids, so it gets a lot more complicated. Most women our age, just because, you know, we happen to be straight men, so it fits, the dynamic fits. Most women our age are with child. They have kids. So those dynamics, it becomes a lot more complicated, because then you have to deal with those factors, especially, like, because that child becomes a tether of emotion. Whereas if he didn't get her pregnant and she let, you know, they broke up and then you're with her, it's not as strenuous as if, you know, now she has a kid with that guy. So he's always going to be there. So that it's always a strain. So she's with you, but she's also still connected to her past relationship. She's never truly just you and her in that moment. It's you, her child, and the man that fathered her child.
That same Netflix documentary that I saw, that I can't remember the name. It's horrible.
Yeah.
One of the dudes told a story about how this Native American tribe, like, they don't live in a monogamous lifestyle, but, like, there's couples, but it doesn't matter if the lady goes off and sleeps with another dude, right? And one of the explorers was speaking with a Indian chief, or I'm not sure what he was exactly, and asked them, how can you be okay knowing that that child that you're raising might not be yours, it might be the next guy's, because you guys are so carefree and are allowed to do that. And the Indian chief himself looked at him and said, if I see a crying baby on the floor, my first instinct is to pick it up, no matter if it's my child or the next guy's child. And then the guy telling the story brought it back to, like, how, like, for us in our civilization, our culture, if we see a crying baby on the floor, not that we wouldn't, like, care for that child, but our first instinct is kind of to, like, find that child's parent, or, you know what I'm saying? But, like, in their culture, like, it doesn't matter whose child it is, I'm going to take care of this child. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to care and love for this child as if it's my own child regardless. It's kind of like going along with that, it takes a village to rage.
Yeah.
Raise the kid.
Yeah, it does create a oneness, I guess, with everyone, because, you know, everything is just one, you're just one entity at that point. No one's sectioned off into families. No one's like, you know, oh, it's that family versus this family. It's like, okay, we're all one community. And
was still families, but it was just kind of like they didn't really care about the rules. It was weird, to be honest with you, because it wasn't like that wasn't his wife, but it's like he didn't even care whether or not that this child could be his or not.
Yeah. I think maybe in a small community like that, it might be possible, but like in a mainstream society, I don't know if that, like, you really, like,
I don't know.
She's with guy number 40, like, or he's with woman number 40.
Why I gotta be 40? Why can't it be like two or three?
Bruh, how many people do in right now where we are mostly monogamous? How many partners do people on average have that they've been with? Like close to 10 at least. And that's like not a high number. Like if someone was like, yeah, I slept with 10 girls, you're like, oh yeah, good for you. Or if a woman told her friends that, I don't know how it socially, it's obviously more messed up for her because then she's perceived as a slut. Mm-hmm. But you know, 10 is still not that high of a number. Like if a girl told me she slept with 10 dudes, I at this point I wouldn't. Not well, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's not like a huge, huge number. Especially if they're like 29. But to some people, that is a huge number. I don't know. I'm not around sexually active people, so I couldn't tell you.
I think, yes, you are.
Whatever. I'm not around people that talk about it.
Gotcha.
Because it's just mostly married people. I don't want to hear any of that.
I mean... So yeah, I guess we've kind of been going. I mean, is this most we can talk about this weird topic?
Still think that and what Jordan Peterson still makes some kind of sense, because like in that tribe, okay, so there's one dude that's just the best dude out of all the dudes. Most of the women just stay with him and sleep with him, and then the other dudes are getting less sex because of it. I'm just saying, it's going to get to a point, like, in a world where everyone is carefree, it's going to get to a point where average dudes, you know, start suffering because of it. There's a whole incel thing because of it. I mean, don't get me wrong, those dudes they would want, you know, you need those dudes to become stronger men for them to become attractive, because they're not attractive to women. That's just the reason why they like that. But being an involuntary celibate is a thing. It's mostly because some people say it's because of, like, Jordan Peterson would say it's because of the cultures, like, drifting further and further away from monogamy. But you also got to figure that a lot of these dudes are not becoming what they should be and not becoming stronger men. Therefore, they're not becoming attractive to women. That's why women aren't seeking them out. But in a society where most of the time women will tell you need to be more softer and more feminine, but then in turn will date a guy that isn't that, I could see how it'd be confusing if you're like 19 or 20.
Hey, I can't even argue that. What was that? I can't argue that.
Awesome. I'm just saying, like, it's monogamy has it helps. It definitely helps because, I mean, you need to become, men need to become stronger men, and we're in a culture right now where that's not a thing, where men are being told that they're toxic and their masculinity is poison and stuff like that. So then you want to become softer, but then every girl says they want a nice guy that cares for them and listens to them, but they're never going to date that dude. They're going to date Chris Brown at any chance they get.
Not every girl.
Not every girl, most of them.
I just think
that will settle down for the nice dude are probably more in, you know, they want monogamy more than the ones that don't.
I low key think everybody wants monogamy.
Some people, most people. I mean, there's very few people that are polyamorous.
I just think it's just like, I think we just can't fight the temptation to not be in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah, no, it's definitely culturally ingrained. But the thing is, another reason why it's culturally ingrained is that there's a limit, depending on who you are, to the amount of variety of partners you can have. Like, there's a certain point where, like, bro, you can't get that girl. Like, it's not going to happen.
I disagree with that. I think you can get any girl. Fuck that.
You're crazy.
I am crazy. I am crazy.
Coming from a guy who just got rejected the other day, I'm pretty sure there's a limit.
That, no, no, no. Fuck that bitch, for one. That is one female in this world. Two, do you, no. I, you, no, no. Any guy can get any girl. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get that specific girl, but if we're going to, and so my feminists out there, don't take too offense, but if we're going to rank women, you know what I'm saying, from like, whatever, like, you can get a female that is of that same ranking. I'm not saying it's going to be the exact one that you want or the one that you thought of, but to say that you can't get no girl that's as equally as attractive to that particular girl or a Kim, no, bro. No, I see ugly, short, fat, bald motherfuckers walk around with the baddest of bitches.
All right, I'm just going to tell you, before we go wilding out off topic, I'm going to say some things that need to be stated and then we're good. All right, on OkCupid, women rate 80% of men as below attractiveness. And on Tinder, women only swipe 15%. They only swipe right 15% of the time, where men swipe right 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you map that out, there's like a huge gap. Depending on how much money you earn, the gap changes. But the top 10%, like the millionaires and millionaires, they're always going to find other millionaire women or men that they find attractive because that gap is so close. But as you get into the range of money, like normal people like us, that gap widens of attractiveness. So even if you're making the same, let's say you're both making $30,000 a year, to her, you're a 4, whereas to you, she's an 8. So she's always going to feel like she's dating down if you guys make the same amount. That's why, like Jordan Peterson says, women tend on average, there's all averages, and so this isn't every woman, obviously. But on average, they tend to mate up and across dominant hierarchies. So if you're like a entry-level employee, you're probably not going to... I mean, you could. It's a possibility if she's that one exception. But it's harder for you to date someone that's executive. Because she's going to want to date someone who's like a higher executive.
Yeah. Now, are you right now equating her level of hotness to her job title?
No, but the thing is, for men, it's different than for women. Equate your, like, how much you earn and who you are, like that. They equate that to hotness. So if you have a good job, you can appear hotter even though you're a regular dude.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if you're a short, bald, ugly motherfucker and you got bank, you can get the baddest of bitches.
Of course, but that's because of your money, not because of who you are.
But you still got the bitch.
No, yeah, you're right. If that's the end goal. But I'm just saying that, like, for men, that's not the case. I don't think I've ever heard a man say, like, she has to earn this much for me to find her attractive. Now, obviously,
of course not.
It's more on physical attributes.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, maybe it's because men are just gross. But there's more chances, there's a lower chance of a woman walking into a room and not being able to find a dude that would take her home.
Of course.
Any woman, like if a woman says like, oh, men don't find me appealing, there has to be something very, very wrong with her for men to not find her appealing. Whereas a man, he just has to be 5'7", and then that's, he just knocked off like half the room, if not more.
But that same 5'7" dude, if he has a badass job, he can pull whatever girl, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or if he's really funny, like Kevin Hart, he can pull any girl.
He's also rich too. But I mean, yeah.
But he wasn't rich all his entire life, is what I'm saying.
And yeah, you know what I'm saying? The more money you earn, the more closer that gap is between you and the woman that you choose. So because
and the woman he chose to marry, he met her before he was popping Kevin Hart. He's just the funny dude that had the skill, worked at it, and she loved him for who he was as a person.
Exactly, because that's he became a man that women find attractive. And that's what I'm saying. Like with the people that are involuntary celibates, a lot of them blame women for being picky or for being just bad people, or, you know, oh, they just want to sleep around. So because there's no enforced culture that enforces monogamy as a typical thing, I'm missing out because these top tier guys are getting everything. Where they just need to do is better themselves to become more attractive 100%. To women in the first place. But that's the 100%. Only way. You can only blame yourself if something's going wrong with you and other and the other opposite sex or the same.
We've
sex.
Basically been arguing the same point just from different angles.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying women, on average, there's... You could be a dude in a room with a room full of women and none of them want to sleep with you. I don't think that's really a thing. If we're just talking about sex, I don't think that's a thing that happens to women very often. So I can understand where the inspiration would come from if you're a dude who can't get laid or who can't find a woman that finds him attractive, speaking from the point of view of a guy who hasn't found a woman that finds him attractive.
All right. Kind of got veered off of monogamy, but...
I mean, it's still all the same thing. I mean, it's all relationships.
It's all the same.
And, you know, monogamy is a good thing and shouldn't be appalled, but it doesn't have to necessarily be the only choice. Like, you shouldn't get mad at a woman that wants to settle down with a man and have a family. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. Like, oh, how dare you let him rule you like that, and now you're just a housewife. Like, if that's what she wants... That's fine because she wants to be monogamous. If you don't want to be monogamous, that's also okay.
Sure. I think it's a good thing.
No, it's definitely a good thing, man.
It's like you said, a mature way of living, wanting to be with one person. Yeah. I think us as Americans or our culture, we struggle with that. It's going to be hard for us to find that one person, but maybe if it's a challenge, we can find that great person. Or I don't know.
You just gotta build yourself and become the person that you would want to be with. Because I just saw a thing about relationships. I was listening to a podcast about relationships, and she said that she's talking to her husband. Like, you want to become the person that you would want to be with. Because if you're gonna always searching for that person that completes you, you're never gonna find them. You want to be the person that. You already want to be the person that you would want to be with, and then you'll find that person. But once you become a higher version of yourself, then you can attract another. You know, you can meet another person. But if you're always waiting for some woman or some man to come into your life and fulfill it and make it whole, you're always going to feel incomplete when it doesn't work.
There you have it.
And that is it. Ladies and gentlemen,
monogamy
and relationship things. Be happy, be healthy, be better people, love one another in any form.
Awful.
All right, guys, this is goodbye.
Well, this is goodbye from Alan the Youth.
Alan the Youth, episode
Monogamy rules. All right.